The souls of the righteous are in the hands of God. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to church. It's so good to be here on such a special day, All Saints Sunday. Have you been noticing the fall that we're having? Has anybody been surprised by the color? I thought with the drought we had in the summer that it would go from hot one day to just nothing the next. No leaves on the trees or the bushes. Please, whatever you do, enjoy the colors, the change of season. It's a wonder. You may have seen this. It's a video on TV or online. It features a large firefighter completely decked out in yellow safety gear, his face shield pulled up over his head, and in his enormous hand is a tiny kitten. He places an oxygen mask over the kitten. It covers the animal's entire body because the animal is not breathing. Patiently, he begins to massage the chest of this tiny animal gently, gently. Nothing happens. Once an enormity of time has passed, there is the barest shudder from the animal. Then its body stiffens, and then a cough. And we know the kitten is alive. As the video ends, the tiny creature is awake, kind of groggy, but breathing on its own and fully alive. I love All Saints Sunday. Actually, I love the whole month of November. It begins with All Saints on November 1st, and it ends late in the month with Thanksgiving, so that it begins with us remembering all who have gone before us and who have helped make us who we are. And then it ends appropriately with giving thanks. Isn't this a great month? That firefighter will never be canonized by the church. Doesn't matter. He's a saint to me. What he did was captured on video for others to see, but much more elusive are the heroic acts that go unnoticed day by day, year by year. Like the young father who holds down a full-time job and attends school part-time or even full-time to provide a better life for his family. Or the surgeon who's on her feet from dark in the morning to sometimes dark at night, working with an exhaustive level of concentration to heal broken bodies. And then there's the ones who make those and us possible. Teachers. Talk about unsung, unappreciated people with unbendable dedication. There's a couple who, long after their own children have grown, now must unexpectedly take on the care of a grandchild or grandchildren. What was meant to have been their leisure-filled golden years must be put aside. Money saved for things that they had denied themselves when their kids were growing now must be spent on a new generation of their own family. And they are older, with less energy, and possibly without the good health they enjoyed when they were young parents. I spoke with a therapist once who said she was struck speechless often in her therapy room with wonder at her clients. She marveled at the common nobility of people in her care, of amazing levels of sacrifice and determination. She would say, "How did you do that? How did you drive hundreds of miles almost every weekend for years to visit your mom in a nursing home? How did you save enough money to put three children through college on minimum wage?" And she said that they just shrugged, just shook their heads, didn't have a good answer. I don't think saints ever do. They would mumble something like, "You do what you have to do. You do what you can." So, in one way, those people are extraordinary. Virtuous, self-sacrificing, noble. And yet, in the same breath, they are absolutely ordinary. Common. Undistinguished. Not one of them will ever be recognized as a saint of the church. Once again, it doesn't matter because they are saints of God. My definition of a saint doesn't come from the canons of the church, doesn't come from theology. My definition of a saint is anyone who causes others to feel that God is madly, desperately, tenderly in love with us. If you know someone who makes you feel that, that's a saint. Those sorts of folks don't tend to be recognized, but they're recognized in our hearts. We alone know the kinds of sacrifices others have made for us, especially our parents, the kinds of hopes and dreams they nurtured for us. We may be less aware of the hopes and dreams nurtured by prior generations on whose shoulders we stand. Those who could only dream that someday there would be free public education for every child in America, that someday women could vote, that somewhere people could practice their religion without fear. Most of those who hoped and dreamed and worked in minor ways to make these things happen are not remembered in history books or church canons. They are remembered in our own hearts. I do that sort of reflection this time of year. You know, All Saints kind of invites me to do that. And I do it especially where my own family is concerned. I consider the goodness my parents embodied. You know, it's easy to look back on dear old mom and dad and see all their mistakes. Nowadays, parents, if they deny their children the latest gadget, immediately think to themselves, "My God, how many years of therapy have I just consigned my child to?" But what about all those things that mom and dad got right? What about the relatively unremarkable ways they went about living their lives? For example, I never heard in my home a racial slur. Never. To the extent that well into adulthood, I didn't know what some common vulgarities even meant. My parents never used profanity. They had a strong work ethic. They had a strong moral ethic. Mother hammered into me that ethic that drove me nuts as a teenager. Do the right thing. Because she always did. So did Dad. It was usually in small ways, like writing thank you notes, paying bills on time, collecting garbage that had blown into their yard from a neighbor's yard without complaint or rancor. Do the right thing. They never turned away an appeal for money at the door. You know, this was the time before electronic fundraising, so neighbors would go door to door for the March of Dimes or raise money for scouting. They always gave. Whatever was in their wallet, they gave. They made a monthly donation to our church, but they didn't go to church. I did. But I only did because they took me. Put down the Sunday paper, get dressed, and take the annoying child to church because she wants to be there. Dad always gave hitchhikers a ride. It was a safer time then. Mom took every kid in the neighborhood to school, to Girl Scouts, to the swimming pool, because no one else would do it. They were generous with money that they did not have a lot of. I am very grateful. Unfortunately, they died. I was very young when my parents passed away and not mature enough to really say thank you. But that's okay. That's why the church gives us All Saints Sunday. This is our chance to say thank you. It's our opportunity to say thank you now to those we weren't able to thank then for whatever reason, immaturity, lack of time, whatever, doesn't matter. We can thank them because they live on in some kind of perfected state, in some kind of resurrection that we don't really understand. This too is part of what we acknowledge on All Saints, that life goes on beyond this flesh and blood. In the meantime, it's our turn to do the right thing. It's up to us to do whatever we can, like put an oxygen mask on a near-dead kitten. When we do, we show a glimmer, the tiniest glimmer of the immense goodness of God. And that's a saint. One through whom others can feel that God is madly, desperately, tenderly in love with us all.